It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. We have seen that our nation is more deeply divided than we thought. But I still believe in America, and I always will. We must accept this result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead. Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power. And we don't just respect that. We cherish it. Let's do all we can to keep advancing the causes and values we all hold dear, making our economy work for everyone, not just those at the top, protecting our country and protecting our planet, and breaking down all the barriers that hold any American back from achieving their dreams. The American dream is big enough for everyone, for people of all races and religions, for men and women, for immigrants, for LGBT people, and people with disabilities, for everyone.
And the Academy Award winner is Mrs. Hillary Clinton. Sandy Rios in the morning with you. She is a great actress, and I find myself being persuaded. What a great speech. Peace and tranquility, the peaceful transfer of power. We must respect Donald Trump. All of these things coming out of her mouth looking so extremely convincing. But ladies and gentlemen, behind the scenes, this is what's been happening. You may recall, perhaps you don't know, that huge stage that was set up for her to have her, celebration night. Beautiful stage, actually. On the stage with her, Black Lives Matter and many of the other radical left were going to be right there with her, especially Black Lives Matter, which is funded by George Soros, which is a violent group. And we saw that actually last night in the streets. I mean, this, I wondered myself, like, why is she responding this way? This is really good stuff. And then when we talked to my guest, John Gizzi, a couple of days ago, or yesterday, I guess it was, seems so long ago. John, made the comment as sort of a third option, and her daughter, Chelsea, might want to eventually go into politics. And, that's the Clinton legacy. And Mrs. Clinton herself has been so sullied by her own behavior. The real Mrs. Clinton was out on the campaign trail. We saw her day after day, at least when she was out. We heard what she had to say. We heard what she thinks. And it wasn't the nice, kind, conciliatory person that spoke yesterday. Now, look, I'm all for the peaceful transfer of power, and that is what America is all about. But not for pretending like I'm all for the peaceful transfer of power. Meanwhile, my friends in Black Lives Matter are out on the streets causing riots. Let's skip ahead to cut one. This is pretty much what happened last night. Let's listen.
Our symbol of freedom up in flames. A rioter in New York City setting fire to the American flag. Just one of many disturbing protests playing out across the country. The images igniting outrage. Many now saying the violence from demonstrators goes against the very spirit of the democracy they're claiming to defend.
The burning of the flag, these protests,
are really ignorant and hateful act. You know, that flag speaks to rights, not to results. So you can't say that you like the democratic process, but only if it comes out your way. It's like saying I like going to baseball games, but only for the score.
Anger and aggression from coast to coast as protesters trash streets and destroy everything in their paths, shouting profanities and chanting, "Not our president." Sheriff David Clark firing back at the temper tantrums on Twitter, tweeting, "These radical anarchists must be quelled. There is no legitimate reason to protest the will of the people." Rioters in California break into this police car before smashing the windows, and thousands of high school students and teachers walked out of classes and rallied in the courtyard of Berkeley High School, a city known for its progressive politics. Others across the country calling for peace on social media. One post being shared on Facebook saying, quote, "The fact that a woman was running for president equals incredible. The fact that a non-politician was running for president equals incredible. That's what makes America incredible. You can truly live out the American dream. Teach our children that." Clayton and Heather, we'll see what today brings.
All right, that was Fox and Friends First. But what we do know is that MoveOn.org is in the process of stirring up, and that's also supported by Soros. And remember, please remember, we found out through the Podesta email, we also found out through the James O'Keefe undercover videos, that there's a lot of coordination that goes to creating these riots. I'm sure some can be organic, but we know that there's money and funding, and we know that there are sticks that prod and poke, and there are people that are hired to do some of the damage. Last night, actually, on the Kelly File, Rob Schmidt was in the middle of the protests, and let's just give you an idea of what a bit it sounded like. This is cut two.
And Megan, we are only about 8 blocks away from you, but this is a massive protest. This all started at 6 o'clock tonight in Union Square. Thousands and thousands of people marched up through the rain. There you go. This is a perfect example of it, but they moved up south. We got you, buddy. About several thousand in the rain came up here, very motivated to get up here. Now we're outside Trump Tower. We're at 54th and 5th Avenue, not too far away from our headquarters. And this has just been an explosion of anger at the election of Donald Trump, something that you've probably been seeing on social media all day long, something you've been seeing with people all around you, especially in major cities. New York is no stranger to protest. We've always known that. We can show you a couple shots from a helicopter from above to show you the scope of this protest. This is thousands of people here on Fifth Avenue, a very impressive showing of support for the other side, the side that didn't win in this election, frankly. If you remember the comments that were leaked from Hillary Clinton when she talked about the Bernie supporters, saying the disillusioned people that she said are living in their parents' basement, they're upset. This is a lot of that fabric. This is a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters. This is a lot of Black Lives Matter. This is a lot of, there's a hodgepodge of so many different groups here that are angry, that want some answers about what has happened, about how this election occurred, about how Donald Trump is now the president of the United States, and they seem absolutely confused by it. Even the nurses union had a showing here. So you're seeing a number of groups all coming together. They're all shouting different things. There's, there's a lot of screaming fascism and other things like that. So it is a major show of support, like I said, for the side that didn't win in this election.
All right, I'm going to interrupt Donald that Trump. Report. He goes on and on, and he talks about the profanity, and you can see them in the background. There were like 1,000 in Manhattan last night. They were in Los Angeles. 13 people were arrested. Chicago, several thousand people marched through the Lube. I don't think this is not orchestrated. While Mrs. Clinton is talking about a peaceful transfer, and Barack Obama himself, I was going to play a couple of clips of him talking about, you know, so measured and so careful. Trust me. They are trying to distance themselves from what they are behind the scenes encouraging on the streets. And so that's the theater that's going on right now. The MoveOn.org treatise that went out said, the gatherings will affirm a continued rejection of Donald Trump's bigotry, xenophobia, Islamophobia, and misogyny, and demonstrate our resolve to fight together for the America we still believe is possible. And so this is a disaster. We fought our hearts to avert this reality, but now it's here. The new president-elect and many of his most prominent supporters have targeted, demeaned, and threatened millions of us and millions of our friends, family, and loved ones. And it goes on about Congress. We're entering a time of danger for our communities and our country. In this moment, we have to take care of ourselves, our families, our friends, especially those of us who are on the front lines facing hate, including Latinos, women, immigrants, refugees, black people, Muslims, LGBT Americans, and so many others. And we need to make it clear that we will continue to stand together. So that gives you kind of the heart of what the message is. I know a lot of the people that are out in the streets really believe that. And so that's why they're coming out. But trust me, there are agitators. There are people being hired, thugs being hired. And this is not going to end unless a strong arm comes back to stop. And also then, I think Donald Trump is going to have to continue to do what he did in his speech, and that is say that he's going to be the president of all the people. He's going to outlive the hateful things that have been, the alleged, he's going to have to outlive the allegations of hatred toward him. And so, oh, by the way, and Twitter is erupting with calls for Donald Trump to be assassinated. I'm not going to read those to you, but trust me, there are tons of them. Let's see. There are so many things. I want to read to you just for a second. This is a note from Tim Wildman, the president of the American Family Association, and I want to read this to you. He says, pray for President-elect Donald Trump and for our nation. Last night's presidential results have given us a reprieve for America. We are about to go over the cliff. The knockout punch was about to be delivered to the America our founding fathers handed to us. We are about to lose the Supreme Court of the United States to the far left for a generation. Persecution against Christians was about to be amped up, the likes of which we have never seen before. After all, Hillary Clinton called us an unredeemable basket of deplorables. These secular progressives or God-haters were ready to pounce with nothing to stop them. I told my staff to get ready for the federal government to come after Christian radio with new regulations that would prohibit anything preached or spoken against homosexuality. Clinton made it clear she believed in abortion, even partial birth abortion, and she believed that the taxpayers should pay for it. Much more evil was about to be to descend on our beloved America. But God had mercy on us. Don't get me wrong, Donald Trump is not our savior. Jesus Christ is our king now and forevermore. But God has allowed this man to be elected president against all odds, and Donald Trump has chosen to surround himself by many godly men whom I admire and trust. But for God, why would a billionaire business tycoon from New York City want to look to Christian men for counsel and advice? He didn't need Governor Mike Pence to win Indiana. No, God has placed Governor Pence, a Bible-believing brother in Christ, in Donald Trump's path. Now I ask all AFA supporters to pray daily for President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect Pence. May they hold to their promises, return our government to a constitutional republic, and may the Lord bring a great spiritual revival to this land. And that's the word of Tim Wildman, our president. We'll put that on our Facebook page if it isn't already there, because I think it's certainly worth sharing. I heard something yesterday. I did not write this. I wish I had, but I thought it was a really interesting a perspective on this. It said the pundits took Donald Trump literally, but not seriously. The people took Donald Trump seriously, but not literally. And just have to think about that for a second. The pundits took Donald Trump literally, but not seriously. The people took Donald Trump seriously, but not literally. I thought that was a really profound way of saying it. On an interesting note, during Mrs. Clinton's speech yesterday, the New York Stock Exchange, the floor traders, as she was speaking, began chanting, "Lock her up." And she appeared on the television screens around 11:35. And they started chanting, "Lock her up." Some of them were singing, how does that sound? Na, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. This is what traders were doing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And then, of course, someone cautioned, said, well, they did not explode with Andy Clinton cheers. Just a few loud traders. Mostly the floor was quiet during the speech. But certainly the stock market, which had threatened to really go bust if Donald Trump was elected, it did the opposite. It shook off their panic, and they rocked global markets overnight. U.S. stocks opened violently higher, and the Dow soared to over 1,000 points. I'm sure Dan Seay will be talking about that today. So that's what's happened in the financial markets. A whole lot more to say. But I promised I'd open the phone lines today. We're going to do it. What are you seeing, feeling, thinking today, 24 hours after the news, that Donald Trump is going to be the next president? Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
The church in America is in a state of spiritual emergency. Though we have access to more resources and biblical teaching than at any time in history, we are not characterized by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Every time in Scripture when God's people cried out in humble, desperate, repentant oneness, He responded in favor of their prayers. Every time. Today, across our nation, God is waking up believers from our slumber to earnestly pray for revival in brokenness, humility, and repentance. Since only Christ can save, heal, and revive, let's join together to turn from every sin God reveals to us, pray with urgency for spiritual recovery and awakening, and unite with other believers in spreading the hope of Christ-centered revival.
Unite with others for one night, one hope, one cry. From Lake Point Champion Center in Cartersville, Georgia, on Sunday, November 20th at 5 Central, on American Family Radio and OneCry.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. Frankie Gause of Jacksonville, Florida, was born 6 years before women gained the right to vote. That was a long time ago, a long, long time ago. 18 presidential elections spanning two centuries. Frankie thought Roosevelt was a good president, Franklin, not Theodore. But this election cycle, she decided to vote Republican. And Frankie Gause, who is 102 years old, cast a ballot for Donald Trump. Frankie's decision made in part after he walked over to greet her at a restaurant, proving that retail politics is alive and well. You can read more about Frankie on ToddStarnes.com. Meanwhile, the mainstream media seems to still be in shock, stoic after Donald Trump's big win. Many threatened to leave the country. No word on whether Delta will dispatch additional jetliners to Washington and New York to help evacuate the afflicted. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Yesterday, before votes were tallied, I shot a video that some of you may have seen, in which I said to the American people, regardless of which side you were on in the election, regardless of whether your candidate won or lost, the sun would come up in the morning. And that is one bit of prognosticating that actually came true. The sun is up. And I know everybody had a long night. I did as well. I had a chance to talk to President-elect Trump last night, about 3:30 in the morning, I think it was, to congratulate him on winning the election. And I had a chance to invite him to come to the White House tomorrow to talk about making sure that there is a successful transition between our presidencies. Now, it is no secret that the President-elect and I have some pretty significant differences. But remember, 8 years ago, President Bush and I had some pretty significant differences. But President Bush's team could not have been more professional or more gracious in making sure we had a smooth transition so that we could hit the ground running. And one thing you realize quickly in this job is that the presidency and the vice presidency is bigger than any of us. So I have instructed my team to follow the example that President Bush's team set 8 years ago and work as hard as we can to make sure that this is a successful transition for the president-elect. Because we are now all rooting for his success in uniting and leading the country. The peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy. And over the next few months, we are going to show that to the world.
I'm sorry. I'm not buying that. This is like they're all reading from the same playbook, and that is to pretend as though they're magnanimous. I remember when the Clintons left the White House, and I remember how the, because I came to D.C. not long after that, right within months. They destroyed equipment, and their staffers, all of the government buildings destroyed the W key on their computers. And they thought, because it was George W. Bush who had won, they stole furniture from the White House. I know how the left responds when they transfer power. And we're seeing it on the streets right now. And do not think that Mrs. Clinton, who was going to have Black Lives Matter on stage with her, when she, by the way, did not show up the night that she was giving her concession speech. Remember, all of her supporters were crying, standing there for hours, and she didn't even come out to greet them. Instead, she waited until yesterday morning, you know, late morning, made people wait, I think, an hour before she was scheduled to speak. And she comes out and gives this, oh, she's so magnanimous. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. The proof is in the pudding. Let's see what happens in the streets. Let's see what President Obama does with his last few months in office. Let's see if he maybe does anything that would cause disruption, if he pardons any particular people, if he does anything more that's illegal and outrageous. Let's just see how peaceful he wants this transfer to be. I have to say, you know, I'm all for peace and I'm all for a peaceful transfer, but I'm not for being stupid. And because the Christians, and certainly Christians and conservatives, tend to be judge the left by our values, which would forgive, try to make peace. That's part of our DNA because God calls us to do that. That doesn't mean that that's what they mean. That doesn't mean that that's what they're doing. And I really believe we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So I'm just laying down the marker to let you know. I have in front of me a video from last night where two young black men drag a white older voter, and I haven't been able to watch all of this, drag a guy in the streets, drag him down the street, and beat him mercilessly, screaming at him, "You voted for Trump, you're going to pay for this blank." Another woman shouts, "Beat his blank." And so they're beating him viciously. It's been taken off of YouTube, but my understanding it's available at some sources. Not that I want you to go and watch it, but I'm just telling you, that's Black Lives Matter. I mean, that's, I don't know if those guys are part of Black Lives Matter, but they are Black Lives Matter inspired, and they are partners with President Obama and Mrs. Clinton. Just go back in terms of footage and writing, and you'll see that they are on stage repeatedly at various functions with those two administrations. So don't tell me that they really want peace. That they are, I'm sorry. They are not going to go down lightly. They may go undercover. I remember after George W. Bush came into office, it was like Washington settled down and became kind of a different place. But it reminded me, okay, reminded me of cockroaches, you know, going to the corner till the light comes on again. It's like they disappeared. They went underground. That's what they did in the 60s. They lost, really, the battle of the 60s politically. So they went underground and they shaved and they cut their hair and they went to colleges and universities. And they came back with a vengeance, rewriting curriculum in public schools, taking over the colleges and universities, and doing their damage more slowly in a more insidious way. So that's where I sit on this, and those are my comments this morning, and I want to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Billy in Tennessee. Good morning, Billy.
Hi, Sandy. Good morning. First, I want to thank you for your show. I've been a longtime listener. I've got I read an article this morning that was linked to the New York Post, and it says that it's the Democrats' last hope of getting Hillary into office, and it's talking about the electoral vote in December of them actually going against the will of the people and voting her in, and I know you're smarter than I am on that kind of stuff, so I just wanted to get your take on it. And I'll hang up and listen to you on the radio.
Well, I don't know if I'm smarter than you are on this one. But I mean, I don't know if I'm smarter than you on anything, Billy. But on this particular subject, I don't, I haven't heard any discussion of this. And I have been in some discussions where something like that would have been talked about. I don't think that's a possibility. People are saying to me that when this is over with, I think there's still a couple of states out. To be honest with you, they could be in this morning. I didn't check. It was New Hampshire and Arizona. I'm not sure where else. That he could have as many as 300 electoral votes. It would be very tough for anybody to do anything. The win was so overwhelming that I think the Mrs. Clinton and her and the Podestas and the Obama and the international Marxist left are kind of left stuck with the result. I don't think they can really challenge it in that way. But I think that they will do what they're doing on the streets, and that is try to disrupt and cause trouble and maintain that absolute hatred toward Donald Trump in order to do their nonsense. Billy, thanks a lot. Having a little bit of trouble with technical this morning. I don't have any of the names up here on the screen, you guys, just so you know, so I can't see who to go to. Okay. We're having a little technical problem. So let me just, for a second, I have other things to tell you. I know that'll surprise you, but as soon as I get the names up there, we'll go back to the lines. Here's an interesting. Out in Los Angeles, you know, Hollywood movie makers and actors have all been threatening to move. In fact, this report this morning from the Hollywood Reporter says, Hollywood studios agencies in a daze after Trump wins. Many of us will be scared and threatened. And it talks about all the PACs that went to support Mrs. Clinton and how they are upset. Anyway, here's the irony. There was Canada, their website that handles people, you know, moving to Canada and resettling shut down a couple of days ago. And now there are all these tweets going out from Canadians saying they don't want American freeing liberals. They don't want Lena Dunham. As a Canadian, all I can say is sorry, America, but you can run from your mistakes. You can make your bed. You made your bed. And then only one problem with all these crazy liberals and celebrities wanting to move to Canada now. We don't want you. Okay, so it goes on and on. There's some really funny tweets from Canadians. So, all right, I think we have our callers back. Our phone number again is 888-589-8840. So now, let me see if I get this right. Is it Yeoman? Yeoman in Iowa?
Yeoman in Western Iowa, Sandy.
Hello, Yeoman in Western. What kind of a name is Yeoman, besides the old English?
I'm a farmer in Western Iowa. Listen to your program most mornings. Really enjoy it. Appreciate your thoughts and your commentary. If I understood you correctly on Election Day, I'm very, very disturbed by a comment you made that day about you talking about the polls and the danger. And again, if I understood you correctly, you said if you have concealed carry, you might want to think about taking your gun to the polls. Did I understand you correctly?
I did say that. Yeah, and then I corrected it later because somebody called in and said in some states that's illegal. So I corrected that, Yeoman. Are you trying to correct me now?
Well, and whether it's legal or not, I think this is a prime example of what's wrong with American Christianity is that we give lip service to faith in God, but we still trust in the arm of the flesh.
Yeoman, did you know that the Islamic State had issued warnings repeated asking for lone wolves to go to polls and kill Americans
yes,
voting?
Ma'am. Yes,
so
ma'am.
You think that the Christian response is to just go and just trust God and not protect yourself or your family? Like if you had your kids with you?
I think Mel Gibson put it very succinctly in this new movie, Hacksaw Ridge, that come out. Very violent, a lot of stuff on war, but it shows what a person who dares to trust God, what God can do when a person really dares to trust God instead of just giving lip service.
Hey, Yeoman, let me ask you something. What do you think Jesus had in mind when he told his disciples to bring their swords when they went out? Do you suppose he was telling them not to trust God?
Well, let's look at what he said after one of them used that sword.
No, that's a different story. That's a different story. But we know that he also told them to take swords when they went out. So I'm just wondering, what do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think what's more important is what he, how he rebuked Peter when he used that sword in what would have normally been, oh, yes, he should have used it, but he rebuked him for that. I think there's something a little deeper than that, that shallow interpretation of, oh, yes, we should use deadly force.
Yeoman, let me get this straight. Where are you on the spectrum? Would you say you're a complete pacifist? You don't believe in guns? You don't believe in locking your doors? Or where are you on that spectrum?
Nonviolent, non-resistant. That's not pacifism. What you're presenting, Sandy, is a false dichotomy. Oh, you're either a pacifist or you're in favor of using guns. I think God has a third alternative. And I've heard people call in from time to time on your show and say, hey, there is another way, but American Family Radio is very much on the wrong side on this issue.
I don't Yeoman, of course, I don't agree with you. I think you have a limited look. I understand your position. I know that some people have come to that conclusion, but I don't believe that God has laid down anything in the New Testament says that we can't have standing armies, that we can't have arms and weapons to protect our families, that we can't use walls or locks or protect ourselves. I do not think. I think there may be certain times where Christians individually in a situation may choose not to protect themselves and to, but I don't think that we are to be like absolutely vulnerable. I think that, you know, all the soldiers that go out and sign up that have protected this country for so many years, warriors that I know who are Christians, who believe, you know, in that is something. Certainly we know that in Romans 8, there are governments and there are entities that are set up to protect us. So I just don't, the whole idea of going, not protecting yourself is just, I can't even conceive of it, Goldman. I really can't.
But Sandy, what you're missing is there really is a God in heaven that if we will trust him, he will do miracles.
Okay,
but if
Yeoman,
we rely on
okay,
the arm of the, Sandy,
I
can
don't,
I finish
Yeoman,
without being interrupted?
if you get cancer, are you going to have chemotherapy or are you going to just trust God?
Sandy, you are confusing.
No, I'm not. No, you are saying that God can protect. Of course he can. He can keep us from getting diseases. He can keep us from getting shot. If you drive like a maniac, if he doesn't want you to die behind the wheel, I guess he can even protect you from doing that. But I believe God requires us to bring our minds. We serve him with our heart, our soul, and our minds, Yeoman. And our minds indicate with common sense that we must protect ourselves.
And what you're interrupting shows is that you really don't want to hear this point of view. I would challenge you, Sandy, get a guest on your show sometime that has a balanced view of the third alternative and discuss that with them rather than just shut me off by interrupting and talking over me.
You're talking right now, Yeoman, and so I. You know what? If you went to see that movie, that movie was created to. Did you feel that way before you went to see the movie?
Absolutely, yes, ma'am. I felt this conviction for many years.
Well, I don't feel that same conviction, and I believe that the biblical position on this is not necessarily yours. But I think brothers and sisters can disagree. I feel angry because you know why I feel angry. Because I think I don't like pacifism. I think it is, to me, it's a coward's retreat. I'm sorry.
That's
and
a
I
false
believe in
dichotomy,
protect it.
Sandy.
You're
presenting a false dichotomy.
Saying that a person like me who believes in protecting myself and my family doesn't trust God. You don't know what you're talking about, Yeoman. Because there are many, many ways. You know, we trust God regardless of what happens, whether we live or we die. You know, whether he brings disease or healing. And I trust God, but that means I still make doctor's appointments and I still try to drive within the law. And I still, you know, if I need a gun, I'm going to take it. We'll have a longer conversation about it. This is probably not the right day. Thanks for calling, Yeoman. All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines in just a second. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
Get on the road to reality and live for what really matters.
Make your decisions and the way you spend your time, knowing that just a few more years, it's all over. Make your life count. And Jesus lived like that.
Listen for The Road to Reality with Brother K.P. Yohannan of Gospel for Asia right here on this station.
Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central on AFR Talk.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The first critique of President-elect Donald Trump is now in. Reportedly, he's unable to recruit experienced foreign policy and national security professionals because they refuse to serve under him. My own experience in the Reagan administration tells me that the unwillingness of such folks to work in a Trump administration may be the best thing that could happen to our government. Neither the president-elect nor the country can afford the sorts of fratricidal conflicts that inevitably and persistently arise when large numbers of officials, rather than faithfully execute directions from the commander-in-chief, oppose and subvert the president's policies from the inside. Fortunately, there are plenty of other Americans, many with relevant experience in the armed forces, the intelligence community, law enforcement, and the business sector, who can be counted upon to answer the call of duty. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Yeoman just called. And I really don't want us to have this whole discussion on pacifism and not carrying guns today. We're going to have a couple of comments about it, but I want to talk about the election more than that. And yes, I did say when I found out the Islamic State had issued all of these encouragements to lone wolves to go to voting places on Tuesday and kill Americans, I was pretty ticked about that. And I said, we should, if we have conceal and carry, we should take our guns. And then someone called in and said, hey, you can't take guns into polling places. And so it's true. And I asked people to really check with their states and their laws. My husband, of course, has a gun. And I think you can't take it inside the polling booth, but you can take it up to a certain point. And so I think we have to talk about those things. I make no qualms about the fact that I believe in Second Amendment rights. I believe in the ability to protect ourselves. I think the principle is in Scripture that Jesus told his disciples when they went out to take their swords. And it's, you know, so I don't have a problem with that. Yeoman doesn't agree with me. And so we could have a longer conversation on that, and we will at some point. But Teresa, I think in Ohio, has a comment about it. So let's go to her first here. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. How are you, Sandy?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Before I say anything about that, I want to thank you so very much, because I would have not known so much about this campaign, about everything that was going on behind the scenes, and I probably would have not voted for either person because I wanted Cruz. And I, you know, so I want to tell you, you have made a huge difference. All the interviews that you have done helped me to dig into it a little bit and see what was going on. And I'm telling you, it has helped a lot of people, because I know I actually let people hear the interviews that you've done. I put them on my Facebook. And I know you have made a huge difference in bringing to our attention what's really going on. And I thank you so much, and praise the Lord for your show.
Thank you, Teresa.
I own a taxi company. I do mostly insurance clients. I take them to the doctors and home. And so I'm on the road all the time, and I have two other drivers. And I try to talk them into listening to you, too.
Well, thank you for that.
I hear you a lot whenever I have the opportunity. And I thank you and praise God for you.
Thank you.
On the subject of the person who I just called in, I wonder, okay, if he believes that God will just take care of that. I do, too. I do believe God would take care of us in any situation. But he doesn't tie our shoes. We're not puppets. And Satan is real. And does that mean that he doesn't put down seed in his fields? He said he was a farmer. Does he not plow? Does he not bring in his crop? Does he not take it to sell? I guarantee those things come into play, and he does all that. Why would he not protect his family? I completely understand why you said that. And I, if you think about it, all of these places that people have been killed, they were not allowed to have guns inside. They did the research, literally, on some of these people you have seen where they have chosen certain places and then changed their minds because people were allowed to have concealed carry in there. So
yeah.
You are 100% correct in telling us to defend ourselves, in my eyes.
Yeah. All right, Teresa. I thank you for that. And thank you so much for listening, and be safe on that road. You're a person who needs to protect yourself, given what you're doing. You never know who you're picking up and what they have in mind. Thanks a lot, Teresa. You know, I get in cabs here in D.C. There's also probably difference in environment. You know, we live in a more hostile environment here in D.C., and I often feel the threats a lot more. Sometimes I got in a cab with a Muslim driver just a couple of weeks ago, and he immediately turned up Islamic music as loud as he could play it. And they don't usually do that while you're driving, but I know what he's doing. This is called dhimmitude. He is subjecting me to Islamism. And all the way home, I was right. And I know that the Muslim Brotherhood has plans for us. It makes me a lot more fight. I'm not in that relaxed, middle-of-the-country safer mode. Just not. We're kind of on the cutting edge here, and that probably explains my tension over that issue. I'm not afraid for my life, but I will fight for it. I'll fight. Listen, I'd protect my husband. If somebody came after him, I'd be on them like I would just never stand by and watch. I couldn't do it. I would fight for my children. I would fight for my friends. And so I can't comprehend not doing that. Just can't comprehend not doing that. And I don't equate that. I think of all the people that have saved other people, that have intervened. I think of the people that have had guns and taken people down. I think of a few times that's happened in schools where there were mass shootings. And I thank God for the person that had a gun and stopped the shooter. I just can't comprehend just letting it all take place and watching it. And so we'll have to have that discussion more. All right, let's go to North Carolina and talk to Josh. Good morning, Josh. You're a Marine?
Hey, yes, ma'am. Good morning. Thank you for everything you do, Sandy. I am a staff sergeant at Camp Lejeune. I've been in the Marine Corps for about 9 years. And just to say something about what you were just talking about with carrying a weapon, because I carry a weapon everywhere I go. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall of Israel, and he built with one hand and had a weapon in the other. Jesus told his disciples, if you do not have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. I mean, that
that's ridiculous to say that we're not, you know, we shouldn't defend ourselves. We should pray and trust in God every single day. But, I mean, you know, everybody's got free will. So, I mean, people's got free will if they want to bring a gun and start shooting people, you know. So we should definitely be able to protect ourselves. But I wanted to say about the election, I can't explain to you how grateful all the Marines on Camp Lejeune. I don't speak for all Marines, obviously, but all the Marines I know in my unit were so grateful Hillary Clinton didn't win. Her and Obama. I've met Obama twice, shook his hand on the White House lawn, and he came to Camp Lejeune one time, and I met him. He cares nothing for the military. Hillary Clinton is the same way. They have no respect for the military. They care nothing for it. And it's very hard to be away from your family and to push yourselves the way we are, the way we do every day when we deploy, when we're on ship, wherever we're at. It's very hard to do that. And knowing that your commander-in-chief does not respect you and does not care anything about you. And Donald Trump cares for the military. He respects the military. I can't explain to you how much better it'll feel to serve a commander-in-chief that will actually, you know, respect the military. Because when Obama would walk into the gymnasium, wherever we were, that's where we met in Camp Lejeune when he walked in, I mean, not one Marine made a peep. And they had to tell us to applaud, you know? I mean, that's ridiculous for the Marine Corps to feel that way about its commander-in-chief. No, and that's the way it is.
Well, Josh, I can't add to that. That's exactly what I know to be true, except I haven't been in your shoes. You know, we had General Flynn on a couple of days ago, and he has, you know, he's one of the few brave top generals who stood against this administration, and now he is right by Donald Trump's side. I heard last night that he can have any position he wants. And so we know that things are going to sort out with that, and I thank God for that. And Josh, I thank God for you and your service, and I'm thrilled on your behalf. I tell you, if that were the only reason that we should be happy that Donald Trump is president, it would be enough. And so, God bless you, Josh. Yeah, God bless you and all your buddies. Yes, sir. What?
And also, I'm sorry. And also, I know you got to go. And also, with this election, with all these protesters and stuff, I think during the when they're running their campaigns, each candidate should respect the other candidate in a sense. Obama and Clinton has put it out and lied and portrayed in the media has portrayed Trump as a racist. As all these things, they need to show more respect because they didn't. I mean, if you're running for president, you might win, you know. And if you go on portraying somebody to be a racist and all these things, which Donald Trump, I don't believe him to be. I mean, and he wins. Obviously, this kind of stuff is going to happen. So, I mean, they need to set some kind of borderline. They need to make it about policy and who's the better candidate. Yeah. They don't need to make it about Go ahead.
Well, I just was going to say that's an Alinsky method where you target and personalize it. That's what President Obama and Mrs. Clinton, they cut their teeth. Mrs. Clinton knew Alinsky. She was his personal, you know, he was her mentor. And when after he died, Barack Obama studied under him. That's the leftist Marxist method. It's to destroy a person rather than talk about the policy. Just so that you know that, Josh, you might want to read Rules for Radicals. It's not a long read, but it would help you because it sounds like you got your head really on straight, and this would give you more knowledge. Josh, thanks for your service. And that reminds me, I want to read something to you that I wrote yesterday based on a couple of comments that I made to you. Yesterday, the day after the election, reminds me of what he just said, and it's called Imagine Today How Lives Have Been Changed. In January of 2009, Barack Obama, the soon-to-be former president, famously boasted, "Elections have consequences, and at the end of the day, I won." The day after Election Day 2016 might have brought dread for many people, but for others, tangible relief. And Donald Trump's victory will indeed have real consequence for real people. Imagine the thousands of Americans sick and in need of medical care who not only can no longer see their own doctors, but can no longer afford their premiums. Imagine healthy families whose backs are breaking under the weight of unfathomably high deductibles, forced still to buy insurance or endure financial punishment from the IRS, busting their budgets and creating fear and uncertainty. Imagine thousands of soldiers deployed overseas with an uncertain mission strapped by unbelievable rules of engagement, watching colleagues slaughtered by friendly fire, with military leadership either too dumb or selfishly ambitious to care. Imagine border ranchers who for years have endured the scourge of illegal immigrants invading their property, committing crimes against them and their neighbors, forced to helplessly watch because a rogue Obama INS refused to enforce the law. Imagine coal miners in West Virginia and Western Pennsylvania and Kentucky whose lifelong jobs have vanished and skills waned, struggling to take care of their families and keep their self-respect because a smug, outlaw president decided to destroy their industry in order to delusionally save the planet. Imagine the joy and relief of FBI agents who risk their careers by refusing orders by an out-of-control Justice Department to destroy important evidence on the laptops of Hillary Clinton aides Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson. Imagine members of the NYPD and New York branch of the FBI who, upon finding unbelievably vile and potentially criminal information on Anthony Weiner's laptop, risk their pensions and their children's future by withstanding threats from that same Justice Department in order to do what was right and preserve the nation. Yes, elections have consequences. And today, for those of us who have worked tirelessly to expose the corruption and the lies of the Clinton machine, we bow our heads and thank God that they do. So that's an article that's on Facebook, and it'll be up in other outlets too today. I just wanted you to, those were my thoughts from yesterday. I want to take a couple of more calls. Katarina is in Virginia. Good morning, Katarina.
Hi, Sandy. It's Katarina.
Katarina.
I'm Latina, and I live in Virginia, and I'm an immigrant to this country. I came here when I was 8 years old. My father came legally. He was invited by the United States because there was a formidable fighter pilot, and so they invited him to come to America. Sandy, I am so thankful for the fact that Donald J. Trump won. As a Latina, I came here with, I've always been shown an ethic of hard work, don't stop, get your family ahead. And I was so depressed under Obama because I saw what was going on. And, I've been listening to your show for about a year, and thank you so much for your show, by the way. And my father always taught me an ethic of hard work, perseverance, and I felt so depressed under Obama. I'm so thankful under Donald J. Trump. I'm cautiously optimistic as a Christian. I pray this man does what he said he's going to do. I encourage all Christians to keep your eyes open. Just because we elected somebody we thought was better, don't stop. Keep your eyes open, hold Congress to account, hold the Senate, the House, the President to account, because our leader, our primary leader is Christ. And unless they hold to his standard, we will keep on fighting. But as far as, his election, I am so thankful. And, viva Estados Unidos. I'm so thankful that America has a second chance.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a breath of fresh air for America. And sorry I'm commenting about this, and I'll try to be short. Regarding the last comment from the man who called about guns and saying, I carry concealed. As a Latina, unless you live in a country where you depend on carrying a weapon, to keep yourself alive because the police won't respond, you won't know what it's like to have to carry a weapon all the time. You won't know that it's important to know that you have to defend yourself.
Katarina, you got to call in again sometime when we have more time. You hear the music, and so I'm out of time, but God bless you, and great to hear from you. And what you make me remember and want to say, look, the left wants to divide us. We are not divided. We're united by truth. We're not divided by color and race and categories. We circle ourselves around what's true, and certainly around God. Our God is the God of truth. And so let's not let them divide us further. This is Sandy Rios, grateful in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.